Hey team, welcome to another episode of the Intentional Agribusiness Leader Podcast, the podcast where we actually explore the minds of leaders from all around the agriculture and agribusiness space about what it takes to lead intentionally in this industry today. My friends, if there's some value in here for you today, we ask you to subscribe to the podcast, share this with someone who needs to hear the message of what it takes to be intentional. Let's get into the show. Hey team, welcome back to another great episode of the Intentional Agribusiness Leader. This is your host, Mark, and today I'm on with Josh O'Brien with Yieldmaster Solutions. Josh, welcome to the show. Good to have you.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Appreciate the time here today.
Yeah, man, it's going to be fun. So, Josh, what does it mean for you to be intentional?
You know, for me, being intentional means just being authentic. It means in every aspect of my life, whether it's in my work life or my personal life, to be authentic with the people around me, to be authentic with the things I want out of my life, whether that's goals in business or goals on the personal side, and just really trying to be intentional about how I'm going to achieve those results. So I know it's a little different for everybody, but for me, it just comes down to authenticity and realizing who I want to be as a person and being intentional about how I get there.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Is there any process that for you that goes behind there? You know, I mean, a lot of people talk about authentic. I love the word. I think that we all should be authentic. To me, that means genuine.
Right.
It means, you know, being aligned with not showing up trying to be someone I'm not or something I'm not, right? But how do you stay in that? I mean, there's so much demand over production and solutions. We get into customer conversations where maybe the customer wants something a little bit different than what we normally bring to market, right? Or what we have available, you know, and we do all these things to prove ourselves and get deals. And that can lead to a lot of unintentional consequences down the road, right? So just curious, any way that you stay authentic or have, you know, something core to you that this is what that means?
Yeah, I think, Mark, what it comes down to, and it's interesting, as human beings, we kind of have this, I'll call it an internship of how to be an adult, which is the process of growing up, right? You start off as a kid, as a child. Hopefully you have, you know, good parents that teach you, you know, right and wrong, and they teach you what it means to be a dad or a mom and all those things. Mm-hmm. So you get this kind of course of an internship as you're growing on the personal side. And then as you correlate that over onto the work side, what I've been really lucky to have on the leadership side when it comes to the Yieldmaster Solutions team is I've gone through the steps to get to where I'm at today in terms of being an account manager and being the boots on the ground person that has to go and answer those tough questions with growers and with dealers. So the ability to put myself into their shoes, because I can step there and say, hey, you know, I've been here before. I've done this. I understand that these questions aren't always the easiest ones to find answers to. And sometimes there is no right answer to it. But if you can do that with the team that you work with, I think that authenticity comes through of, hey, this guy has been where I'm at. He's walked a day in my shoes. And then hopefully that correlates down to the grower with them. You know, a lot of our account managers are farmers themselves or have families that do farm. So they understand the daily challenges that farmers have. They understand that, you know, there isn't always money in the budget to buy everything that you want them to buy, right? So they can be authentic with the farmer and say, look, we go through the exact same analysis when we buy products for our farm that you're going through today. Let me give you some of the advice that I think about as I'm looking at, you know, these products that we sell you. And I think if you can get that to trickle down from, you know, from me to the account managers, to the dealers, to the growers, that authenticity shines kind of the whole way through. At least that's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it, man. I mean, you've done the work that the people who work for you are now doing. So you have that relevant, authentic version of yourself that's been in those shoes. You've been the boots on the ground and now you're just commanding boots on the ground.
Right. Exactly. So
your role today is a little bit different, but you've been there and there's a certain authenticity that comes with that, which I love. So that's cool, man. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
What, you know, as it pertains to your experience as an employee or as a leader, you know, trying to attract and retain good talent. What's worked for you? What's working for you right now? I know that's a problem that a lot of people in ag are trying to solve for. So just curious what comes up for you.
Yeah, you know, and to be quite honest with you, this is the biggest challenge as a leader that most companies, certainly our company, faces, right? And is that we don't live in a vacuum, right? We don't live in a world where you either work for us or you don't work at all. We live in a world where there's 100 other really talented agricultural companies out there that would love to have your services, should you choose not to work for us. We're very cognizant of that. You know, when we hire people, one of the first things we tell them is, we want to train you so you could go work for anybody in the country, but we want to treat you that you only want to work for us. And that's what we strive for every day. So things that hopefully we do to make them feel that way is we do an onboarding process where they get a deep dive in biological training, because that's what we sell as biological products. Because if you're not confident in the product that you're selling, the ability to sell it is not going to be there, and the excitement that you have every day to wake up and go sell products is just not going to be there as well. So we've implemented things like an innovation learning center where there are short modules of our products, because we understand that hearing the explanation of how something works once is not enough to retain it. We want you to be able to go back and continually watch you know, these videos and how these products work. We've implemented ride-alongs, whether that be with myself or our business development manager, Jamie Jones, who's phenomenal in her job, for the account managers to feel like they're not on an island, right? I think as account managers, one of the biggest struggles that you have is that in our world, you work a pretty large territory. Typically, it's a minimum of one state, oftentimes maybe two states, three states, right? So your interaction with other employees in the company is virtual or remote most of the time. So the more that we can be out with them to make them feel like we're in the fight with them, they're not on an island by themselves, that goes a long way as well. And then I think the last piece of it is yes, they are, you know, they're employees of a company, but more importantly, they're people. They're people that have lives. You know, everybody has their own things that they're going through on the personal side. You know, it may be that you're trying to juggle a schedule with your kids. It may be that you have elderly parents that you're trying to, you know, make sure that they get taken care of. It may be a financial thing. Whatever that is, there's always something that's going on the personal side, and making sure that you're receptive to the needs of, hey, you know what, I need to step out today because I got something going on the personal side that, you know, I got to go handle. They need to be able to feel like they can do that and not be, you know, I don't want to say punished for it, but not be, you know, feeling like they're not doing their job. So we strive really hard on the YMS side to say, hey, family comes first, your personal life, everybody has one. If that's healthy, you're going to be a better employee overall for us. So make sure you get that taken care of. And I think that goes a long way with our employees. So those are maybe just a few things, Mark. That we do to try to make our employees feel like they're appreciated and that they want to be part of this team.
Yeah. Fantastic answer, first of all. Thanks for being very articulate with that. I love the way you just kind of work through that. And you know, you're hitting this last piece here, one of these last pieces about just recognizing that your people are people. Right? Like work doesn't happen in a vacuum. We take this phone home with us all the time. It's there wherever we go, right? There it is. And it's so work is impeding on our home life. It's natural to we might make the assumption that, you know, home life is going to impede on the work life too, you know, at some level. Like you and I were talking about off camera. Yeah, that also means we get to create results in both areas of life. And like, what's the formula for that?
Right.
You know,
Yeah,
and
and it's a constant balance too, Mark. It's you know, I'm in a role that good and bad puts me on the road a lot. You know, the good part about that is I feel like I get to stay in check with what's happening in the country. I get to do ride-alongs with our account managers. I get to go visit dealers and do, I don't know how many meetings we've done in the back rooms of diners, you know, all winter long with five growers here, 10 growers there. And you get to get that hands-on experience of what is really going on out there, which is incredibly valuable for us as we're planning our product life cycle and how we're going to go to market. But the flip side of that is that you're giving up time with your family, right? I have a beautiful wife and I have three amazing children, 8, 6, and 3, and they're busy. Man, they got a lot going on, basketball games and soccer meets and football, all these things. And as much as I would love to be at every one of those things, unfortunately, I can't. I have a job that requires me to miss some things. Now, the flip side of that is, if it's something that I feel is incredibly important for me to be there, I have the team built around us at Yield Master Solutions that I can say, hey, my son has a science fair this week. It's really important to him that I'm there. I need you guys to cover these meetings for me, and they are incredible. They'll step up and do it. So you got to be able to find that support structure, both personally that allows me to be on the road and professionally that allows me to be off the road, that makes this thing work.
That's such a good point. That's one of the really core tenets to intentional leadership is you are intentional not only to those people you lead at work, you're intentional everywhere to all the people that you lead and care for and provide for as a provider for your family. So that's a big piece. But then there's also a protector of your family that's part of your job too, right? And so you get to go to some of those things and protect that time to to go be with kids. So that requires systems and processes and communication internally with the team. And there's, I think there's always probably like an unwritten, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, kind of a thing. We take care of each other. But I think there's a level of depth that we need to also implement, which is, hey, what are your really key core strengths as a member of this team? How can we learn to amplify those so that you can do this job, even better? What can we compensate? Some of those things that maybe are not core or that are not strengths. Where can we compensate for some of that stuff, right? Who else maybe gets really enjoys those things, and we can start to share duties so that it's not always on one person to just be the one person on an island making it or not making it in that territory, right?
I think that's a big deal. You talk about building the right team, and I'm a big sports guy. I love sports. I love analogies, and this is one that's maybe a little bit overdone, but it still holds true in my mind. Is, if you're building a football team, having one Tom Brady is really good. You don't need 11 Tom Bradys on the football team because he's not going to go out and catch the football. He's not going to block as a tight end. He's not going to be your running back. So putting him in the right position to be successful is really important. And the same is true with our team. We have people on our team that are phenomenal presenters, phenomenal public speakers, just really thrive off of that energy of the crowd. And we have other people that's not for them. They are so much better on a one-on-one setting, sitting across the kitchen table with the grower and talking to them in that capacity. And there's a need for both. And when we have a presentation that needs to be done, if it's a person that thrives more in a one-on-one situation, we'll call in the help of that person that does a phenomenal job public presenting. And being able to cross-train and have that support is what makes this thing work, quite honestly.
Well, I love the idea of sharing it across. I think that's very intentional, sharing, allowing people to dive into their strength areas and maybe move away from others and allow others to compensate for that. So often, I'll talk with training buyers who are wanting to say, hey, I've got, these three people on my team are phenomenal in front of a crowd. I need to make these other three phenomenal in front of a crowd. And I always take a step back and say, well, why? Hey, what are we robbing Peter to pay Paul? Are we going to try to make them spend a lot of time and a lot of money trying to make them really great at something? You're probably only ever going to be just average at, right? At this stage of their career, they probably would have developed presentation capabilities, if they were gifted naturally, a little bit more naturally gifted with talents in that arena. Let's maybe look at how are they great in other ways? How can we get supporting each other a little bit more so everybody gets to do more of what they love instead of trying to create carbon copies of each other.
Exactly. It does not help you to have, a team where everybody's identical. Because, one of the things that we do with our team, for example, is we get together every Friday, on a team call, and we talk about the wins, the losses, the challenges, the excitement that each account manager has, right? And hearing the variations of those stories, is really exciting because what's a win for some people might not necessarily be a win for another. It might be a challenge, right? One person might say, my big win this week was I got an invite to go speak in front of 30 people next week at, such and such dealer. Well, for that person, that's really exciting. But for the account manager that doesn't like public speaking, now all of a sudden that's a challenge for him, right? So being able to air out those things and talk about them in real time and say, hey, what an exciting opportunity for you. How can we help you? How can, I know that public speaking isn't your, biggest strength, and nor do you enjoy doing it as much as maybe some other people. Let's figure out how we can help. And it seems to work really well.
Yeah, that's good. Glad that's working out for you. Let's touch on culture, from a quick minute. I mean, you guys have really gotten to build up this organization kind of from the ground up, right? I mean, this is a growing organization at Yieldmaster, and you're adding to the team, but it's started small, it's been growing, and you guys are out there making some waves. So how is culture playing into the intentionality behind what you're building?
Yeah, so culture is it's a great question, Mark. Culture is the backbone of everything that we want to do in this company. You mentioned that we started small, so we started in 2019, and there was two of us, right? One person handled the east, one person handled the west, and that was essentially our company. And then over time, we've grown over the last 5 years. We went from 19,000 acres year one to north of 2 million acres today. So
Good for
we've
you.
been extreme. Yeah, thank you very much. We've been extremely successful from that side. But one of the things that a lot of companies lose over the process of growth is that culture, is that feeling of, that excitement of, man, we're building something here. How fun is this? I want to be part of this. A lot of times it turns into, man, this is becoming overwhelming. I don't know if I can do this anymore. And we've really put a lot of effort into making sure that our team and our company still has that excitement of building, not the dreadfulness of how are we going to manage this success. So I touched on a little bit earlier, but family always comes first in our company. That's bar none. You got to carve out that time for the family. But the other part is just the communication. We always tell our people you cannot over communicate with each other. I don't care if you want to call each other up and just talk about, the Super Bowl for half an hour. Do it. There's always that bonding that happens. We have a group chat with all of our account managers, and I would venture to guess, as a group chat, maybe 25% of the text messages that are sent have to deal with actual work. The other 75% is, hey, look at what my grandson just did today, or, how about that Vikings game? How did they blow that one? Those types of things, right? So having that constant communication seems to also be another thing that allows our culture to really thrive. And then the other part of it is just being very honest and open with each other. If you're struggling, if you're having a bad day, which it happens, we're in sales. Not every day is rosy. You're going to have those days where you wake up and you just feel like you've been kicked repeatedly while you're on the ground, right? That's okay. Be open and honest about it. Give myself a call, give Jamie a call, talk to somebody on the team. Hey, I'm having a tough day. Cheer me up a little bit. Tell me about your day. What wins did you have? And I think that overall message has gone really well with the team.
Hey team, please forgive this quick intrusion into the podcast, but I have a really important announcement that I want everybody to get their earballs on. And that is that we have an upcoming Thriving Leader event coming up August 21st and 22nd. The Thriving Leader is our flagship program. We have run this thing over 135 times across the broad scope of agriculture. Thousands of people have gone through this, and our coaching programs and our public events each year are free. We only run two of these per year because of that. And your next chance to get access is coming up on August 21 and 22. The next one will not be until 2025. So we hope to see you. It's in Kansas City. Head on over to thriving-leader.com. That's thriving-leader.com. You get all the details and to book a meeting to see how you can get free access for you and some of your team coming up at the Thriving Leader in Kansas City, Missouri, August 21st and 22nd, 2024. We'll see you there. How do you guys manage communication like that across geography? Because I imagine you guys are fairly spread out.
Yeah, so we are. We have two account managers that we just hired on in the Southeast. We have a concentration of people in the Midwest, and then we have another account manager out in the Pacific Northwest. So we are certainly spread throughout the country. Again, going back to communication-wise, it's having that Friday morning call that's a priority. I get meetings come up that, sometimes you just absolutely can't make the Friday morning call, but technology has been a friend to our industry. It's allowed us to see each other's faces. Like Mark and I are talking right now, and we're not in the same room, but yet we can see each other, right? And the same is true with our team. Being able to have that, it's just a different level of being on the phone versus being on the Teams call, the virtual call. That's a big part of it. The text message threads. We talk to our account managers pretty much every day. Jamie and I, one of us is talking to the account managers every day, and I would say the account managers are talking to each other pretty much every day. So it's just that intentional effort to be in touch with people. It's easy as a salesperson to say, man, I've had a tough day. I've talked to, 30 customers today. I'm tired. I don't want to be on the phone. But when you're driving home and you got that hour on the road, give a teammate a call. Give somebody a call just to talk about anything. It can be work, it can be something else, but make that intentional effort to get on the phone and talk to somebody.
I really admire those cultures that have been able to maintain a sense of like we really care about each other's success as teammates, right? And that's when I'm willing to make that extra call. It's when we start to lose that sense of closeness or hey, what are you doing? Or celebrating the wins, celebrating the success. Facing the challenges together, going through the tough times together, that's important too, right? But when we start to lose the proximity to those experiences, especially early on, the more people you add, right? You can start to kind of feel like a number and other people start to look like numbers and we don't talk anymore, right? We don't, and I run into so many organizations, unfortunately, in the because of the nature of the work that we do and getting to work with culture a lot that no, they stopped looking at each other like humans, having a human challenge experience together. And I just look at them as someone who didn't get me that email on time or didn't do that one thing correctly that one time. And start to develop these stories about other people inside my organization, on my team, et cetera. And there can be, it can be a very negative downward spiral. And it often is, unfortunately. Why? Because people are not intentional with how they just even lead each other, you know?
But I think even, a couple points on that, Mark. Our biggest challenge, because we're not perfect as a company, right? We got a lot of learning to do, and there's certainly a lot of growth that we can do as a company. But our biggest challenge, is that from a culture standpoint, is how do we connect what's happening behind the scenes with the people that are out on the front lines, meaning the warehouse people, the office people, all those people that allow us to be on the road selling. How do they understand what we do, and how do we understand what they do in a real way to try to eliminate that type of animosity of, man, this guy just really dropped the ball today. Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Maybe there's other things that were out of his control that we just don't understand that happened today, right? And that's probably the more difficult part from the communication standpoint. The salespeople seem to all be in the same stride of the day-to-day and what's going on. But then you throw in the behind the scenes people that make it possible for us to sell. And there's not always that clear communication of what each side is going through to make this thing happen. And that's the struggle for us. But I think that's something that we're continually trying to get better at, to put ourselves in each other's shoes and not be so quick to point fingers.
Do you have any sort of cadence for bringing people together in person? I know you mentioned doing ride-alongs and those kind of things. Do you ever get everybody together in one spot?
We do it several times throughout the year. So the sales team will get together. We try to get together every 3 months. And then that's a mix of business and pleasure. So we do, we'll do a full day of kind of just sales activities, sales training, those types of things. One of the things we incorporate with every get together we do is a think tank. We're big on that, we did not get from 19,000 acres to 2 million acres because one person had an idea. It's because a group of people sat in a room and had, some great ideas, and maybe it didn't start as a great idea, but by the time we workshopped it, it became a great idea. So that's a big part of what we do. And then the back half of the trip is, hey, we worked hard all day, we got a lot accomplished. Let's go blow off some steam tonight and have a little fun. We've done things like axe throwing, we've done golfing, those types of things, just to have that time away from work, but yet still have that communication with each other and that kind of bonding experience. So we try to achieve that every 3 months, and then we bring the whole company together once a year for kind of our company kickoff in the middle of the summer there, where that is more of a commingled staff of not just salespeople, but also all those extremely important people behind the scenes that allow us to do what we do.
I love that. And I think one thing I would recommend to anybody who is listening and has those distributed teams, even non-distributed teams geographically, even if you're in a retail area and you're in relatively close within a few hours of each other, is really locking down like what is that chronological cadence of coaching, of bringing teams together, of getting them in proximity with one another, because it's really easy to start to lose that touch, that feel for who we are together as a unit when we don't get to see each other, when we don't have that time. And yes, it's time away from family, et cetera, but I mean, it just even makes work more enjoyable. Like I think about John Anderson from our team, where do we see each other a lot right now because we're in delivery season as of, the recording of this is in the middle of February. This is our busy season. So we see each other about every other week. Now we'll go through times of the year we don't see each other for a couple of months, right? And it's just really easy to start to lose touch with like, hey, how's it going? What's going on with the kids, right? How's Kaylee doing? What's going on with the, your cattle and all the other things that he's got going on. Because we're so into it when we see each other on a more frequent basis. So we have to, because we don't have office spaces, because we have such virtual companies now, and this has been true in ag for a long time. Obviously, we've been working across geographies for a long time. But really now in today's day and age, with so much communication, so much going on, just so much unknownness in the world that it seems like it's, I think it's really important, more important than ever, that we have that cadence, right, of getting together in
Yeah, it's
person.
extremely important. Most agricultural companies, and I'm not going to say what Yieldmaster Solutions is unique in this. Unless you're a retailer where you do have a physical brick and mortar location, and your team comes to that brick and mortar location on a daily basis or a weekly basis. Most agricultural companies today are spread out. They do live on a bit of an island, and that is something that has gotten lost over time. It's just that connection with each other. We strive as humans to connect with people, right? That is one of the core principles kind of in our DNA, is that we don't want to be isolated. We want to feel like we're part of a community. We want to feel like we're part of a team. Those types of things. And when we start losing that feeling, you had asked me before about how do you retain good talent. That's probably one of the number one reasons employees leave a company, is they don't feel like they belong with that company. They're an outsider looking in. And that's high on our priority chart, to make sure that you feel like you're part of the community.
I would say that's got to help drive retention to an extent too, doesn't it?
Yes, we've been very fortunate that we have retained the bulk of our employees over the years. Now, granted, we're a young company, right? We're only 5 years into this thing. But to date, we've been able to retain employees. And I think probably more importantly, though, Mark, is the ones that have left. The circumstances why they're not with us anymore, they vary from employee to employee, but the common thread to a person is that we stay in touch with them. We have an employee that left us about 6 months ago, and she did a phenomenal job for us, but the life situation for her just wasn't working. She had a large territory. She was on the road a lot. She had kids in high school that were in a lot of sports, and she was missing a lot of those things, right? And she felt, to be successful at her job, she was going to have to give up some of those things at the family, and it just wasn't something that she was willing to do at that point. We respected that. She has since gone on to work for another company, but she uses our products on her own farm. She's a her family is technically a dealer of our products. So we get to stay in touch with her through those connections still. And I know she's still in touch with a lot of the account managers just on a personal basis. So that means a lot to me, that even the employees that we haven't retained have still found kind of tentacles to attach themselves yet to YMS, which tells us that we're doing something right.
Yeah, love it, man. Good stuff. Well, I love, we started off with the word authenticity, and that has resonated continuously throughout, just in the way that you present, the way you talk about your team, the way you talk about your approach, like very authentic approach. So I can tell that you're living the work, and I appreciate it, man. So the super, super good. What are you reading, or what have you read that you recommend others go pick up, download, get on their in their truck speakers on Audible or whatever?
You know, the main thing is, you know, I do a lot of sales training reading. So Get a Grip by Wichman and Patton is a good one to look at. You know, the Little Red Book of Sales is obviously still very relevant today. You know, I think reading, you know, the sales training, a lot of people don't like doing it because it tends to be a little more boring. I understand that. Podcasts these days, I mean, that's one of the really cool things is people like yourself, Mark, that have gone out and said, hey, you know, we have experience in a lot of these arenas, and we're willing to go on mic or on camera and talk about it. That's been a huge asset, you know, especially with people like myself that are on the road so much. You know, we do 5, 6,000 miles a month, and to be able to burn some of that time by listening to you know, Audible books or people like yourself that just have that experience, I think has been a big benefit for us as well. So the other part is, what I would encourage people to do is listen to something that you never thought you would. I, for example, I listened a lot to, there's a podcast out there that I believe NPR puts out called Radiolab, and each week it's a different topic, and it's almost like theater of the mind, right? They take you into this specific thing, and sometimes it's, you know, it's typically science minded, so you have to enjoy science a little bit to appreciate it, but there's always kind of a core message in there that resonates to either your professional life or your home life in some way, shape, or form. So I would encourage people to just listen to things you wouldn't typically listen to either. There seems to always be something that you can find in there, some little hidden gem.
Yeah, fantastic advice. There's so many great resources out there. I hope that this podcast is being viewed as one of those as we try to contribute to the leadership thought, the thought leadership around leadership in agribusiness. So we didn't feel like anybody was talking about that or creating a resource like this for the listeners. And so that's why we created it. And it was a total give. Like it was a way for us to put value into the industry. Our belief is if we put more value in, then we extract, we'll never go hungry.
Yeah, that's actually one of the questions I had for you, Mark. I know it's supposed to work the other way around, but you know, I was thinking about this a lot today. You know, as we were going through the scheduling of this podcast, you know, I had some hiccups in my schedule and you had some in your schedule, and you know, it got delayed a little bit, and I just got to thinking about, man, Mark must just be this is not for the faint of heart. By the time you record it, then you gotta edit it and do all those other things. There's a lot of work that goes into doing this podcast. Why was this so important for you to do, Mark? Because obviously you have enough going on in your professional life and certainly your personal life. What made you want to do this podcast? Like, if you don't mind me asking.
Well, the first part is what I just said, right? When as I was looking around, we had a podcast in previous years, pre-COVID, back when I had a full team, we had a half dozen people plus myself, so 7 people full time working in this space. Like we had a lot of people to do the things, right? And coming back in our post-COVID business model, I'm running a very lean ship, so there's not as many people to do all the all the things. And so, since 2020, we had just shelved the podcast. This was an old podcast called The Survivor's Guide to Thriving, which is based off of our Thriving Leader content. Now, what I had had the desire to get back into podcasting because I genuinely love sitting down and just having this conversation. I am learning from you right now. This puts me in the center of a lot of conversations where I get to learn. I get to distill content and knowledge on a specific thing, intentional leadership, right? So I'm sort of in a way, my selfish thing that I'm receiving from this is that I am effectively becoming the steward of what it means to be an intentional leader. Right? So, and I take that job really seriously. So we have a lot of these conversations. So that's part of it. And I just wanted to get back into podcasting. We wanted to provide a resource for the industry. And I looked around, and we can make another leadership podcast. And I may do that down the road. We can make a podcast about any like we could. I mean, how many podcasts are out there just about agronomy or biological products or soil health or livestock production? I mean, all the things, right? Nobody's really talking about leadership of agribusinesses specifically. Now, what we've talked about today could be applied probably to just about any business that fits a similar business model to yours, right? Anybody who's a busy leader would benefit from listening to the conversation, but putting in the context of like, hey, we actually care about agribusiness. We want to make a difference in this space. It puts us in a place where we can have better conversations, like amazing conversations like this with leaders like you.
Right.
So it's cool because we believe that we can influence deeper by going deeper in the niche.
No, that makes a lot of sense, and it's interesting you bring that up about I do this because it scratches an itch that I have, but I also learn a lot from it, and I think the same is true in my space, where, for example, today I went and did a grower meeting, excuse me, a dealer meeting with one of my account managers, and he kept introducing me as his boss, his boss, his boss, his boss, and that's fine. I don't mind being called that, but eventually I stood up in front of the group and I said, look, I am his boss, but I'm here today because I want to sit and I want to watch and I want to learn something. And he looked at me and kind of laughed and said, oh, you're going to learn something from me today. And I said, oh, absolutely. I mean, I expect to learn something from everybody that I see speak, whether they work for me or not. And I did. I learned a few things today that I hadn't thought about before. We think about learning in such a linear capacity of I got to go sit in a classroom and listen to a teacher present something in order to learn. And if that's how you think about learning, you miss so much education. The education that's been the most valuable to me in my life is from talking to people. It's from hearing their experiences, hearing their way that they do things. Not all of it's good, but for the most part, that's how you learn, I think, in the real world.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important about how we learn things today, right? So if you think about training historically, you wait for somebody to become an expert or do the research on a specific topic, they throw together a PowerPoint. They put together a workbook, right? And then they offer a training. Okay. That's how we've done it. Today, we live in a world where you and I can sit down. We've been on here for 43 minutes from the start of this, about 35 of those we've been recording. And we've created a learning resource where somebody can go about listening to this and take a few notes and say, hey, you know what? This is what's really important about being an intentional leader that I learned from Josh O'Brien today. Cool. In my culture, we got to keep family first. We got to double down on communication and we got to create an open and honest culture. Those are three very actionable things that anybody listening to this right now can go home, implement within their families, that they can go home, implement within their, or excuse me, go to work and implement with their business, within their teams, et cetera. And what I know because of the work that we do, there's a very significant, unfortunately, there's a very significant number of leaders and companies out there that don't have those core values on their team, in their work. They're unintentional. So creating a conversation around that is really important to me. But one other thing well, there's really two things because I want to fully answer your question. So one other thing, when I've gone through my big transformations in my personal career, my personal development outside of work, even it's been I have listened to books, read books. Watched, gone to conferences, listened to speakers. It's always the absorption of lots of content that helps nurture my environment to become who I need to become to lead at a higher level. So if this our hope is that this podcast is contributing through the earbuds and truck speakers of leaders all across the agriculture industry to think about and leading their lives more intentionally. So that's the first big piece, and then the transparent like final piece is we get leads. It's a podcast, right? And it creates conversations either with guests or with people who hear about us because they saw the podcast on LinkedIn or they saw it promoted somewhere, and they're like, "Hey, I want to have a conversation about what we could do." And so I'm not gonna do, since you asked the question, I don't want the very obvious and transparent part. Like this is a marketing effort for our business as one of the leading leadership development companies serving ag.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, as you're listening to the conversation today, I picked up a lot from you just in the last 45 minutes, Mark, about things that would be beneficial for my company, and I'm sure people listening are hearing the same thing, and just thinking, man, if that's what he's willing to give away here on the podcast, I can't even imagine what I can learn from him once I get involved in the program. So that makes sense to me there. I think I want to circle back real quick to this learning thing because I think the important part about to me about learning is that the number one thing you need to know is that learning is never complete. You never finish learning, right? And if you do, and if you feel like you've done learning, then I'm sorry for you because then you've lost interest and that's not exciting. But things that I struggle with the most from a leadership standpoint and just being very, kind of candid and personal is, and there are things that you can't just learn by listening to podcasts or reading books, unfortunately, which is how do you hire good people, right? I mean, we deal with this every day where there's this balance of people that have had the proven ability to sell a product, may not be an agricultural product, but sell a product, or these people that are very well versed in agronomy and but maybe haven't had that success selling a product. Which one do you take the chance on? The one that's got the more experience on the agronomy training, or the one that's got more experience on selling, albeit maybe not agricultural products? Unfortunately, those are things that you can't just read a book and say, well, this book tells me that I should always go with the candidate that does X, Y, or Z. There's a certain amount of experience and a certain amount of just trial and error that takes place, unfortunately. And the important thing to know is you're never going to hit it 100%. You're always going to have employees that, for whatever reason, maybe not their fault, maybe not our fault, but there was just something that wasn't quite right with the fit. And identifying that and learning from that to take it to the next employee is something that's kind of a critical thing.
Well, it's iterations, right? There's iterations of the repetitions that you've taken and the things that we've tried and learned what's worked and what hasn't worked. All of those things lead us to one of our what we call leading indicators. Okay. So when we teach our Thriving Leader program, we define the difference between a leading indicator and a lagging indicator. The lagging indicator is this person worked or they didn't work. Right? That's a there's a there's we're at the end. It's too late. We've already hired them. We've already gone through the cycle. It's worked or it didn't work. The leading indicator is clarity, right? And so with experience comes clarity. We start to find out what's very important to us, what we don't want, right? What won't work, what doesn't work in the culture that we're creating, what kind of people will work here, what kind of people won't work here, et cetera. And then what type of skill sets do we need, within this role? And the clearer that we get, the more we double down on enhancing our culture, making our culture be great, and really double down on this, the more you will start, you start to create a certain polarity. It's almost like you create a positive charge associated with your thing, and you're gonna attract somebody, right, who's attracted to that type of charge, right? That your culture maintains to if that makes sense. I was watching a video with my son the other day about how a flower, right, that's connected to the ground will have has a negative charge. A honeybee carries a positive charge, and these two things will literally attract each other. So the when they're flying by, it can actually sense the electromagnetic field of that flower. It's attracted. Now, what happens after the flower, after the bee has visited and done its pollination job, that charge has now gone away for a while until the pollen gets repopulated. And so what so now the next bee that flies by doesn't stop in. And isn't it cool, right? I mean, if we just look at the model that nature has given us, right? I mean, we're kind of like that flower's there doing its job. Put the job posting out. It's like, this is the kind of thing, the kind of it's the visitor that I want, right? Stop in when ready. And then when it's done, it's like boom, done. And it's very clear, right, on the kind of, be in that case. But we can do the same thing as organizations, as team leaders. This is why I'm so one of the reasons I'm so passionate about intentional leadership is because when leaders really dig in and they really go deep on being intentional about who they are, what culture they're creating, how they're like the first three questions we ask on most of these podcasts is what is intention, what does it mean for you to be intentional? The second question is let's talk about attraction and retention, and then let's talk about culture. Those questions are asked intentionally and asked on repeat for now over 60 episodes as of this recording, because every month now thousands of downloads are happening on this podcast. And that message is being programmed in again and again and again, encouraging people to really be intentional about thinking about what does it take to create intentional culture? What does it take to create intentional attraction and retention strategies? And actually sit back and let's get out the whiteboard. Let's get out some flip chart paper as a group, as a team, and think about what this gets to look like intentionally.
I think you're right. It is interesting how Mother Nature's kind of set the model for us to, we just got to figure out ways to replicate it in our world. I think the difficult part that I have, quite honestly, is you talk about leading and lagging indicators, right? How do you judge the success of an employee, right? In our world. And that is something that I think every company struggles with, and we're no different. We're not isolated from that. And the example I would use I know a lot of companies will say, well, I hired employee X, right? Is employee X going to pay their salary this first year? Are they going to at least sell enough product that they pay for their own cost? Because that is one way to measure success, right? Is by sales volume. I have a good friend of mine and a customer of mine that he made maybe the best analogy that I could think of is judging a person's success by their sales numbers is a little bit like judging a football game by its score. And what he meant by that was, if you played a game and you lost by 3 points, but man, you played the best game that your team's ever played, mistake free, the other team was just that much little bit better than you were. Does that mean you're a failure? Versus you played a game and you won it by 30 points, but you fumbled the ball 4 times. You're terribly on penalties. You had 10 penalties. You played an ugly game. It just happened to be the team you're playing against played uglier than you. Well, one of those things are they're 2 different levels of success. And the same is true with our employees and with salespeople, the way you look at it. You can measure success by sales. I think that's a very poor way of measuring the success. And that's one of the things a lot of companies struggle with. To me, I look more at the activity. What is the employee doing on a day-to-day basis? Is he setting him or herself up for success in the future? Because I'm a big believer in if you're doing the right activities, the sales will come at some point. And I don't know how to articulate that in a very clear way, but I hope that's something that a lot of sales managers that are listening to this will take into consideration as they're looking at the success of their employees as they move forward.
I just want to piggyback on that a little bit, and we'll have to bring this in for a landing as we come up on time here. So, in fact, we're well over time compared to podcast.
Sure.
The conversation has been so good. I wanted to just let it run, man. So, this is how most people are making decisions, right? They're making decisions based on can this person pay for themselves within the course of a year, right? And then do they? And then we make decisions from there, and then we try to make corrections based on that. And it's the wrong approach. That's the wrong question to be asking. That we need to work, sit down, and this is what intentional leadership means, is taking the time to think through what is required of that individual to be able to give them the best chance, right? Like sometimes we get beat by 3 points, right? We get beat by the competition. That's going to happen, right? It's going to happen at least 7 out of 10 times in most cases, right? Okay, so if we think, what gets us those 3 out of 10 wins, right? What gets me that 30% close rate? So let's dissect that. What goes into that, right? Is it a certain number of on-site calls? Is it a certain number of meetings? Is it a certain number of what are some other things? One of the things I coach my people to do is just to reach out via text message 5 times a day to random people. I'll just go to your phone and send a message. And if I happen to hit Jay and Josh O'Brien's name comes up, I'm just going to send Josh a text. I'm not asking for employment. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for business. Hey, hope things are going well. I was just thinking about you, right? Hey, here's a cool little resource. And you send them a link, to an article. Sometimes I will send a funny meme to people that are in my network, even if they're just prospects who don't have a deep relationships. But just little ways to add value, a laugh, a thought, a resource. Just, hey, I thought about you. They saw your name one more time. Well, a leading indicator of success for me and my business is when I do that 5 times a day, Monday through Friday. When I do that, that's a leading indicator to me that my pipeline stays full. When I don't do that, when I get out of the habit of doing that little leading indicator, my pipeline goes dry every single time, dude. I'm every single time. So what I've discovered, and just go back to your point, it's just that experience that you pick up over time. Like you got to start to notice there's a correlation between that behavior and the end result. So the question isn't, will this person pay off in 1 year? The question is this person consistent enough and dedicated enough and hungry enough to get up and text 5 people every day first thing when they wake up?
Yeah, I think
Right?
you're spot on there.
So find out what are, it takes some homework, right? This is where intentionality comes in. We have to figure out, so what are some of those things? How many of those things do they need to do? How frequently do they need to be doing them? And most people can't answer that. And that's why they lack consistency in the development of their sales teams.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's a great comment, Mark.
Good stuff, man. This has been great conversation. I've enjoyed this thoroughly.
Yeah, no, me too. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and spend a little time with you. I learned a lot from you today, and I'm
Likewise.
sure a lot of people listening to you week after week are going to continue to learn. So thank you for the opportunity.
You got it, man. Thanks for being here.
I hope today's episode brought you a great deal of value about what it takes to lead life and lead in this industry with intention. If you want to go deeper on the topic of leading with intention, I encourage you to head on over to intentionaltoolbox.com and get the 7 free tools that will help you to lead your life in all areas with a greater deal of intention. That's intentionaltoolbox.com. And finally, if this message resonated today, if there's something in here that you got value from, I promise you there's someone else in your life who also would get value from this. So please share the episode, share the podcast, and make sure that you subscribe.